may be seated. As I continue to share with you some of my favorite passages of Scripture, last week we talked about doubt, and this week we come to the question of faith. And so here, these words from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, starting at the first verse. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even when he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open your word to us this morning. We pray that you would speak, that we might hear your voice and follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the question that the author of the book of Hebrews seems to be trying to answer is, what is faith? And what an important question for us. Faith, that word, it seems to be so central to who we are as Christians, to what we believe. So what then is faith? The way that Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about faith, it's something, it's that through which we gain our salvation. Paul says we are saved by grace through faith. When Peter steps out of the boat to walk on the water, he starts to sink, and Jesus says to Peter, "You of little faith." So faith had something to do with Peter's ability to walk to Jesus on the water. Jesus says that faith can move mountains. He says this, "If you have faith and do not doubt, if you say to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' it will be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." Those are powerful words about faith. Do you ever feel like we talk about faith like it's the Force from Star Wars? Are you familiar with Star Wars? In the movies, the Star Wars movies, there's this magical, mysterious force called the Force. And Luke Skywalker, the main character, is training up to be a Jedi Knight. And he's learning the Force. He's learning to channel and to master this force. And he can move objects with his mind. He can accomplish powerful things with his mind. Do you ever feel like that's how we talk about faith? That faith is this magical force that if we simply learn enough about it, we can master it. And if it's strong enough, then we can be faithful Christians. When I was a kid, I was sitting around with my sisters watching TV. I don't remember how old I was, maybe 7 or 8. And we got to talking about faith somehow. That's how you know we were preacher's kids, I guess. And my little sister said, well, if anything is possible through faith, then can't you walk through the TV? Now, this TV was built in the late 70s, early 80s, back when televisions were still pieces of furniture, this big wooden thing, and really big. And not that it would have made a difference if it was like a thin LCD or something. And I said, well, I'll give it a try. So I stood up. I took a moment. I kind of faced off the TV for a second, and I mustered up my faith as best I could, and I believed with as much certainty as I was capable of that God would allow me to pass through that TV. And I took a couple of steps forward and I met the TV and I didn't go any further. But if that's faith, If faith is this kind of magical force, then I'd say, looking around this room at the lack of miraculous things happening at this moment, that we are not a very faithful people. But that can't be what faith is. Other times we talk about faith like it's a kind of supreme mental exertion, like it's this great effort to believe things that are simply impossible to believe. Or maybe it's something more like when we come to those things in our lives that we just can't understand, or we just can't accept in any other way in our life, we just step back and we say, well, I take it on faith. Now, certainly there are things that we face that remind us of how little we know, that remind us of how mysterious God is, and we simply must believe with faith. But that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about more of a cop-out. If we face a difficult question, to simply say, well, I'll take it on faith. Or if we really, you know, train our minds up to stop asking difficult questions and call that faith, that can't really be what faith is. Is faith really this kind of mustering of energy, whether it's intellectual or spiritual or any other kind? It makes me think of that contest at a fair. I'm sure you've all seen it. Maybe some of you have tried it. It's the big tower with the bell at the top, and they give you a mallet, and you have to hit the one end of a lever really hard with that mallet, and it sends a ball up, and if you hit it really hard, it'll go all the way to the top, it'll ding the bell, and you win a great big stuffed animal. I think sometimes we think about faith that way. Think about prayer. If our prayers are dependent upon the strength of our faith, then think about this fair contest. And our strength, swinging that mallet and hitting that lever, is the strength of our faith. And the height that the ball goes, the ball is our prayer. And if God is, of course, the bell right at the top. And if our prayer is strong enough, if our faith is strong enough, then that ball will go all the way to the top and ring that bell. God will hear our prayer, but only if our faith is strong enough. That can't be what faith is. Other times we use the word faith as a synonym for religion, and that confuses things even more. We talk about interfaith dialogue and the different faiths of the world. Not that we shouldn't use that terminology to talk about them, but it simply makes it harder to understand what we're talking about when we talk about faith. Add to this the fact that the concept of faith, as we talk about it now, is almost entirely absent from the Old Testament. And so then we come to the question, what is faith? So let's start at the beginning. Let's start at this famous verse. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's how the NRSV translates it. There is almost universal agreement about translating things hoped for and things not seen, the second part of each of those phrases. Everybody agrees that that's how those words should be translated. Unfortunately for us, there's almost universal disagreement about how the first words of those phrases should be translated. Let me give you some examples. So the NRSV we just heard, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The King James Version, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The New International Version, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The Common English Bible says, faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. And finally, the New Living Translation, faith is the confidence that we have in what we hope for. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. There is, in almost every case, a different word plugged into those slots. And so how do we come at this? These words seem to be the key to unlocking what the author of Hebrews is trying to tell us about faith. First, that word assurance. The Greek word that is translated by the NRSV as assurance literally means something like a foundation or a basis for support. The word is used to describe the foundation of a building. And so the idea of assurance or confidence, which we also saw, is probably close. But what I think it misses is that confidence is too much about me. It's too much about how I feel. What this word seems to be getting at is what undergirds that feeling, what undergirds that assurance or that confidence. In other Greek contexts, in the ancient world, that same word was used to refer to a pledge or something we might today call more like a down payment. So if we think about it that way, then faith, as he's talking about it here, when we talk about assurance, it's like a guarantee. It's a down payment, a guarantee that what we hope for in the future is coming. The second part, the word the NRSV translates as conviction. Again, it has that same overtone of assurance and confidence, that feeling that I have, more internal, subjective aspect. That word is used only here in the entire New Testament. It's not used anywhere else to give us a point of reference or comparison. If we look outside the New Testament, it's a word that's used to describe a cross-examination, as in a courtroom, a refutation in cross-examination. And so that's where we get some of these translations of proof or assurance again. Think also of a demonstration, something tangible, something real, that gives us a grasp of what we can't see. Eugene Peterson, in his contemporary translation of Scripture, The Message, says this, and I love this phrase. He says, it's our handle on what we can't see. Faith is our handle on what we can't see. Something far off, faith gives us something to grab onto. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I think as we look at this, we can say that faith is future-oriented. Faith looks forward to the future. It looks forward to what we hope for in Christ. That seems to be clear. And if we're puzzled still about what this phrase means, then good. Because the author of Hebrews hasn't finished with us yet. He's only just started. He's giving us his thesis, but he hasn't given us his explanation. And so the entire remainder of chapter 11, the entire chapter, it goes through a long list of Old Testament heroes who have been examples of faith. And of course, we focus this morning on Abraham, but he's one of many. He names 18 altogether, not to mention grouping in folks like the prophets and the entire people of Israel. It's interesting to me that the author of Hebrews is using the Old Testament as a lens to understand faith. Even though, as I said earlier, faith, as we talk about it now, is almost entirely absent from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we have this concept of covenant, that God has made a covenant with the people of Israel. And the relationship between Israel and God is understood in terms of fidelity to the covenant. We might also call that faithfulness or obedience. And so then we start to see the connection that the author of Hebrews is making between faith and faithfulness, between faith and obedience. And so we look at Abraham, who becomes, for the author of Hebrews, the paradigmatic example of what it is to demonstrate faith. And so Abraham's faith, he set out, he packed up his things, he moved to a far country, not knowing where God was sending him. He arrived to this promised land, this land that was to be his inheritance, but it wasn't yet his. He could have gone on, he could have settled in a place where he could really dig in and grow roots, some place where he could really make a home. But instead, he went to the land that God had promised. And even though it wasn't yet his, he lived there in tents. He lived there as a foreigner in his own land because he trusted in the one who promised. He and Sarah were given Isaac by faith. And then we have this wonderful phrase. They died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. From a distance, Abraham saw God's promise. So now go back to that first verse. the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Abraham hoped for the fulfillment of God's promise. Abraham could not see the fulfillment of God's promise, and yet he hoped. He lived as if God's promise was realized. He lived as if it was right there. And that, in the eyes of the author of Hebrews, is faith. To live in the present as if God's future is already here. To live now as if those things that we can't see are already real, or perhaps even more real than what we can see around us. Faith is future-oriented. Faith looks forward to what God is doing among us, around us, in this world. Faith looks forward to what God is going to do in establishing the kingdom once and for all. But faith is not just future-oriented. It's not just hope. It's not just looking forward, yearning. Faith is also action-oriented. Faith is living now as if the future is already here, as if God's kingdom has already been established. When I was younger, I was visiting a church that my family had attended when we lived in Irvine, California. We lived there for just a couple of years. And when we visited that church, the guest preacher was a close family friend. And I don't really remember much at all of the sermon. He may have been preaching on this text. I have no idea. But he said one thing that was burned in my memory because I found it to be so powerful. He said this: hope is to hear the music of the future. Faith is to dance to it. Hope is to hear the music of the future, and faith is to dance to it. Hope is to look forward to what God is going to do, to what God is doing right now. And faith is to live as if it's already happening, to shape our lives as if God's kingdom is already here. Now, growing up in the 80s and 90s, Indiana Jones was an important part of my childhood. We had all of the tapes, and I think we had them on beta. And the last one was my favorite, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. It's not the last one anymore, they keep making them. In this movie, Indiana Jones is on a quest for the Holy Grail. And he comes at the very end to the temple where the Holy Grail is being kept. And he faces a test, a threefold test. The first test, it has spiritual overtones, but essentially it's dodging swinging blades and things. He has to roll and, you know, and use his whip, and he does the Indiana Jones thing, and he gets through this treacherous room full of, you know, booby traps. The second test is, I don't remember it very well, but it had something to do with spelling the name of God correctly by walking on certain tiles that spelled out God's name. And if he stepped on the wrong one, it would cave in, and of course there was a great chasm below him. So he gets through that second test. And then he comes to the third and final test. And he comes to an opening, and he looks out on a great chasm, a huge empty expanse. About 20 yards across from him is the doorway into the room where the Holy Grail itself is being kept. And he pulls out his father's old notebook that has notes about how he's supposed to pass these tests, and it says something about taking a leap of faith, a leap of faith. And so in dramatic Hollywood style, he looks up, closes his eyes, and he takes a huge step. He lifts up his foot, and he falls forward, eyes still closed. And of course, his foot finds solid ground. And he finds the path, and he races across the path into the room where the Holy Grail is kept. That's a leap of faith. And I don't think we're talking about a leap of faith here. Most of the time, I think we're talking about something less than a leap, perhaps a step. The author of Hebrews goes through this litany of Old Testament figures and heroes, and he comes ultimately, of course, to Jesus. And he begins chapter 12 with words that I think also will sound familiar to you. He says this: "Therefore, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Faith is not a leap that we take with our eyes closed on a wing and a prayer. Instead, faith is a series of small steps with eyes wide open because we're looking to Jesus. We're looking to those who have come before us and set the example for us. And ultimately, we follow that pioneer, that trailblazer who has shown us the way. And so with little steps, not great leaps, little steps of faithful obedience, little steps of living today as if God's future is already here, with perseverance, we run the race that is set before us. We greet from a distance the promise of God. We trust that the one who promises is faithful. Let us pray. God, we ask you to give us the courage to have faith, to see what you are doing around us and in us and through us. Give us the eyes to see all that you are trying to accomplish as you seek to bring your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And as we begin to see, help us to take steps of faithful obedience, trusting in you. Amen.